Did you know that the goal of every secret society is to rule the world? I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
As I mentioned at the top of the hour, every secret society has the same goal, which is ruling the world. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know, and we're continuing our series on Rome Rising. And before I go any further, you can purchase the book Rome Rising through Amazon.com. Often they have it on sale, so go ahead and check that out. Amazon.com for the book Rome Rising by Fred DeRuvo. I think you'll enjoy it. I've got a lot more information there than I'm covering in this series, including charts and pictures and graphs. That will help you understand the process of how Daniel 2 unfolds right up to the end of this age when Jesus returns. But as far as the secret societies go, we talked last time about the fact that Rockefeller is big in those secret societies, and we quoted from him. And we're going to quote from William Cooper right now, who basically says, regarding secret societies, many of them, however, disagree on exactly who will rule this new world. And that's what causes them to sometimes pull in opposite directions while nevertheless proceeding toward the same goal. The Vatican, for instance, wants the Pope to head the World Coalition. Some want Lord Maitreya to head the New World Order. Lord Maitreya is the front runner, I believe, since witnesses say he was present on the ship at Malta with Bush and Gorbachev and the 10 regional heads of the New World Order, unquote. Now, if William Cooper was correct, and we've already discussed the fact that he was not correct in everything he discussed in his book, Behold a Pale Horse, one of the things that really is glaring is the fact that he blamed the assassination on one of the Secret Service individuals of JFK who happened to be driving the car. But we talked about that previously, and it later proved to be completely false. But here he's referring to an event that supposedly took place when heads of state and Gorbachev and Bush were meeting together on an aircraft carrier. We'll get into that in a minute. But what's interesting here is he also talks about 10 regional heads of the New World Order as if they've already been chosen. Well, the 10 regional heads of the New World Order, you have to wonder, does this make you think of anything from either Daniel or Revelation? Well, it should. The statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw in Daniel 2 had 10 toes, which translated to 10 horns in Revelation 17. In fact, the beast in Revelation 17 with 7 heads and 10 horns is the same beast that is referenced in Daniel 2 and 7. And we're going to spend a little bit of time on that in upcoming episodes, so you'll want to be here for that. But the incident to which Cooper is actually focusing on here and referring to is the incident in which Maitreya allegedly appeared and met with Bush and Gorbachev occurred during what's known as the Malta Summit in December of 1989. Did it actually happen? Well, I have no idea because there are no photographs or videos of the event that I know of. But Benjamin Krem's organization called Share International highlights many aspects of Maitreya and firmly believes he is the next and, by the way, the last prophet to arrive to Earth who will bring about world peace. And when this individual shows up, I'm sure Muslims will also accept him as the final Mahdi for Islam. So what happens here is Share International attests to the fact that Maitreya has appeared at various times and places throughout the world over the past few decades. So they're not going to deny that he appeared on this ship where George Bush Sr. was and Gorbachev and other heads of state and royal dignitaries. Now, according to Cooper, whoever turns out to be the head of this coming world coalition would need to be approved by the Pope. There is going to be, according to the book of Revelation, a union of the economic and social aspects of a world government with the religious system, and it will most likely be headed by the Pope. And this gives rise to the potentiality of the Pope being the second beast mentioned in Revelation 13, 11 and following. The beast, the false prophet, is the one who points to the first beast, the Antichrist, and demands and directs that people worship him. We learn that a second beast in Revelation 13 comes up out of the earth and has two small horns like a lamb. But he speaks like a dragon. In other words, he seems gentle enough, loving enough, fair enough, but his words are literally, diabolically evil. He swallows people up and destroys people in what he says. He has great authority, equal to the first beast, and causes the world to worship the first beast. Now, it could be that somehow the second beast is related to the Roman Catholic Church, but we really have no way of knowing for sure until it actually happens. And that second beast steps forward and starts demanding that the world worship the first beast. So when an individual steps onto the world stage and starts doing that as his vocation, then we'll know who the second beast is. Until then, it's really all speculation. Now, in that section of Revelation 13, we also note that the second beast, whoever he may be, the Pope or someone else, and I'm not saying that he is the Pope. I'm certainly not suggesting that he is the current Pope. I'm saying that this individual may wind up being the Pope or someone who has tremendous religious authority and religious following throughout the world. But the second beast gives his approval to the first beast and essentially works to cast the spotlight on the first beast. In essence, what he does is really the role of the Holy Spirit. This individual will bring life to the image of the beast, and he forces people to worship that beast. Taken together, the second beast, as I mentioned, plays the role of the counterfeit Holy Spirit who points to Jesus, who in turn points to the Father. This true Trinity is counterfeited by Satan during the tribulation period. And Satan himself, who plays God the Father, of course, who else would he play? The first beast, Antichrist, who portrays God the Son, and the second beast, who portrays God the Holy Spirit. There is this false trinity, this counterfeit group of three individuals working to bring this world under its thumb. And as God the Father has never been seen, Satan is not being seen at this point. He works through the Antichrist, just as God the Father worked through Jesus Christ. Now, in creating his own image and counterfeit Trinity, Satan is doing all that he can to prove that he is equal to God. This is what he wants the world to believe. He pulls out all the stops in doing so to fool as many people as possible and gather as many resources, natural and human, as possible to his side. And it's all in a grand attempt to keep Jesus from physically returning to this earth in the future. That's the plan. Can you believe it? Satan in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, promised that he will ascend above the stars with his throne, and he will be like the Most High. That's what he promised. God is giving him the chance to prove it. That's what the tribulation in some ways is all about. Obviously, God is going to use the tribulation to purify his nation of Israel, to pull out a final remnant. He's also using the tribulation to begin his judgment of the nations. But in the process, he is granting Satan a tremendous amount of freedom to do what he can to bring his promises recorded for us in Isaiah 14 to fruition. And that's what he's been doing since Genesis 10 and 11, when he first attempted to bring the world together in Babel under Nimrod. He failed, but God said, go ahead now, you can start all over, make it happen. And it's taken him a long time to do that. But we are getting to the point where it's really critical mass has been building. Now, if you've heard anything about a secret, specific global society, the one you may have heard about most is the Bilderberg Group. They first formed in 1952 as a group. Now, remember, though, the people who formed this group have or had roots in numerous other secret societies. In that sense, the Bilderberg Group is only new by name, not by motives or intentions. Now, according to many, this is the most powerful secret group in the world, ultimately created by Prince Bernard of the Netherlands, and he is from the House of Orange, and do some research on that, House of Orange, on the internet. You'll be amazed at what you find. Here's some interesting information. The original conference was held at the Hotel de Bilderberg in Oosterbeek, Netherlands, from the 29th to the 31st of May, 1954. That's the very first time they met. It was initiated by several people, including Polish politician in exile, Josef Rettinger. That name may be familiar to you. He was concerned about the growth of anti-Americanism in Western Europe, who proposed an international conference at which leaders from European countries and the United States would be brought together with the aim of promoting Atlanticism, better understanding between the cultures of the United States and Western Europe to foster cooperation on political, economic, and defense issues. This was one of the goals. Rettinger, remember that name, approached Prince Bernard of the Netherlands, who agreed to promote the idea, together with former Belgian Prime Minister Paul van Zeeland and the head of Unilever at the time. Dutchman Paul Rifkin's Bernard, in turn, contacted Walter Bedell Smith, then head of the CIA, who asked Eisenhower advisor Charles Douglas Jackson to deal with a suggestion. The guest list was drawn up by inviting two attendees from each nation, one of each to represent conservative and liberal points of view. There were 50 delegates from 11 countries in Western Europe attending the first conference, along with 11 Americans. Now, that's off of Wikipedia. You can verify that information in other sources as well. But remember that name, Josef Rettinger, who became later the Pope, one of the popes. Now, it doesn't matter what you or I personally believe about all of this. We may think that these secret societies are made up of crazy people simply spinning their wheels and accomplishing nothing. You may not believe in Satan. You may not believe in God. You may not believe in ascended masters or demons. The bottom line is that it really does not matter what we believe, because those who participate in these secret societies at the top of the pyramid do believe in Satan, known as Lucifer to them, and they spend their lives in total dedication to him, attempting to gain the knowledge and power that stems from it, from being associated with him, from worshiping him, that is believed he possesses, and they believe he wants to share with humanity. Now, what we will hopefully see as we continue through this series of episodes here, and again, there's more information in my book, Rome Rising, we want to see how Satan, not these secret societies, but how Satan has been working diligently to overcome every obstacle in his way so that he might set himself up as the physical ruler of this planet through his spiritual son, the coming Antichrist. That's the true goal of whatever Satan has attempted to accomplish in the world. He wants to keep Jesus from physically returning. Now, unfortunately, for those in these secret societies, they are sadly blinded to Satan's true purposes. They fully believe that they are following their own path of enlightenment, of gnosis, that will place them in positions to rule over the earth. Do you recall the mention of the 10 global regional heads a few minutes ago, the New World Order? Well, this is literally what the global elite are preparing for. And if Cooper's information is correct, we cannot know for certain, these 10 regional heads have already been decided. Now, I find that fascinating. And these are the same 10 kings, I believe, that are mentioned in Revelation 17, verse 12. And we've got to stop there. It's been a quick show today, like most of them. But thank you so much for joining me, and I pray that until we meet again, the Lord would open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.